very pleased to say, joining me on air this morning is Ingrid Grayling. She's a dog trainer. She's also a behaviourist from Crosby Ravensworth. Very good morning to you, Ingrid.
Good morning.
I'm thinking you as a behaviourist, there's plenty of work for you to do in the production office here at BBC Radio Cumbria. But that's another subject entirely. Why can pets have bizarre reactions to what can only be described as random objects? I mean, already this morning we've been hearing from listeners whose perhaps pet dog goes berserk when it sees somebody in a high-vis jacket, the noise of a tractor, the postman delivering. Bubble wrap is also being suggested. We heard a little earlier from Ed in Skimberness. His 14 goldfish in the goldfish tank takes him about three and a half minutes to gather one end of the goldfish tank when the TV is switched on, and they are big, big fans, apparently, of Match of the Day. They like their football.
Well, the point is that, of course, as we know, animals, particularly dogs, but all animals, have a high sense of hearing, a high sense of smell, and they can pick up and tune in. They have this in-depth sense in them. They pick up and they tune in to things way before we're even aware of them. Because this is what they're born with. This is a natural instinct. And this is because it's very much on the survival side. And this is why they tune in so very quickly.
Perhaps we don't give our faithful pet pooches the credit that they deserve. They are very, very bright and very, very intelligent creatures. And that's got to be said also for cats. Not quite so sure when it comes to the 14 goldfish that Ed in Skimberness was talking about, but that's another subject entirely. Other examples of things that cause distraction, perhaps sends the cat crazy or the dog doolally. Bin bags. We heard from producer Steve. He's got two dogs. Bin bags. They've got to be bin bags that are full to get the dog's attention. And they're very, very negative about full bin bags. Also from Steve, the reaction that his two pet dogs take on when they see another dog on TV. We heard from producer Tom. A cat loves to sit and watch tennis on the TV screen. Traffic cones, bin bags, tennis. What's causing this?
This is really quite a simple thing. This is movement. This is a lot, particularly with the dogs. I mean, all animals love movement. Most animals are born to chase, to run. This is a natural instinct. So anything that is movable or moving, they, of course, they have a brain, and it stimulates them. So they want to watch, they want to see, they want to know what is going on. And I think you're quite right. I don't think a lot of people really realize how finely tuned these animals' brains are. And of course, dogs don't want to be bored. So if you have a bored dog, you've got a big problem. So this is why the outside world is such a fascinating place to these animals, because like us, they need mental stimulation.
So somebody who is an official dog trainer, and I should imagine you've got your work cut out.
Oh, yeah.
Answer to a question, because many listeners to BBC Radio Cumbria are getting in touch with me this morning, different scenarios that mm-hmm. they're painting. How can you teach a dog, say, for example, not to bark at the postman or other dogs passing by or a passing motorist or somebody aloft a tractor?
This is very, very common work for me. This is what I do every day. But we have to remember that the dog belongs to an owner. So I train the owner. When the owner comes to me, I assess the owner and dog. I then go through some very basic training. I go through a lot of behavioral of what is happening at the home. Where does the dog live? What does the owner allow it to do? Is the owner a true pack leader? Has the owner taken control of their dog? And what are the boundaries it's set out? And once I've worked with the owner and I know what's happening, of course, obviously I know what's happened to the dog, then we can start to put things in place. Once you've trained the owner and to understand, the thing is they've got to understand the psychology as well as the practical side. And once people understand that, then they can transfer that from themselves to the dog.
That's fascinating. So what you're telling me here, as a dog trainer, the initial training, it's not the dog, it's the owner themselves. You get them
owner.
Trained.
It's the owner who has a lack of basic understanding. When I train, I take the owner right back into the litter. And when a dog has a litter, owners don't understand how it all works. As soon as the dog is born, that bitch takes complete control and the pack leadership starts from the minute that the puppy is born. And when that leadership carries on, and as I breed occasionally, when my puppies leave me, if, or anybody's puppies leave them, if the breeder sells the puppies and the owners don't understand, this is when you have problems.
Mm.
Because there isn't any pack leadership. And at the end of the day, all dogs are in a natural environment, have a pack leader.
Ingrid, are potential bad reactions? We've also been hearing from listeners to BBC Radio Cumbria positive and amusing reactions, but are potential bad reactions things that need to be identified when the animal is young?
Well, most dogs have little, I mean, most dogs chew and they have accidents and they do all of that. You don't really see a dog's personality until they come into about 6 or 7 months of age. But it is so crucial when you have a puppy or a rescue dog that you start off as you mean to go on, a little bit like children, and so that you need to set your boundaries out. Once you take control of a dog's life and set the boundaries out, your dog can relax, trust you, and it can be a dog. And so it's not spooked or scared by anything because you, as pack leader, have taken control of it all.
Mm. Listeners to BBC Radio Cumbria getting in touch with me this morning, 0845 305 1122. Ingrid, I don't wish to put you on the spot here, but seeing as you are a dog trainer, mm-hmm. a behaviourist, then maybe you can help out with some answers to some niggling little problems that listeners to BBC Radio Cumbria have, certainly with their pets. Margaret
yes,
from Penrith with a question here. She says, my old dog used to be scared of the Hoover, and another dog that I had used to be terrified of the hand whisk. Why are dogs afraid of appliances?
Well, it's because it's a strange, obviously it's a strange noise, and it's something they don't understand. And my own dog actually, as a puppy, was frightened of the Hoover. So what I did, I just got the Hoover and sat it in the middle of the room for a week, and we walked round it and I touched it, and the dog wouldn't go near it. And then I switched the Hoover on in another room so they could hear the sound. And then gradually I brought the Hoover nearer to the dog. And it took me probably about a month. And now my dogs just sit there and they don't even move when I have to Hoover around them. It's one of those things that takes a little time to get over. But you never confront a dog full on. You just have to move the object away from the dog. Let it hear this sound in the distance. And gradually over a period of time, bring it nearer and nearer and closer.
Mike in Egremont says, my dog runs after people and barks at them when we're together in the park. I can't get him back when he does this other than keep him on the lead. Is there anything I can do, or is it a case of dog walking for me, my pet pooch, in the park, and he must remain on a lead?
You need to come to me for training, and I will train you, and in 4 weeks you will have your dog fully trained, coming back on the recall in a park with distractions, leaving alone other dogs that he's playing with, because he will be coming back to you. So you, I'm afraid that you need, both you and your dog need my basic training,
okay.
which is fun as well.
What are the most common problems that those with dogs present you with?
I think in the area that I live in, a lot of people have sheep, dogs that chase and kill sheep. Because we're in quite a rural setup here, that is quite a big issue. I do actually work with the police on this level. But again, you know, that if owner and dog come to me, I can cure that and sort that problem out, you know, very quickly.
I've got an email here from Janine, and Janine's also sent me an attachment. The attachment I'm just clicking onto, and we've got a beautiful shot here of her pet dog. Let me just open it up here. It's absolutely beautiful. Well, the photograph is. It's a pet dog. It's a seasonal shot, and you've got the dog sitting there, and it's wearing its Santa hat. It's got all Christmassy bits and bats around it. But the reason for the email, obviously, we got Janine who took the photograph of her pet. This is Tess. And she goes on to say in the email, my biggest problem with Tess is the picture that I've taken here. Since taking that first photograph, Tess now freaks out when anyone points a camera or a mobile phone at her. All my fault. Is there anything I can do?
Yes, there is. It's a slightly complicated, that one. And again, you know, I would have to have an hour with her, but we could sort that one out. But it's very much on the same level as the Hoover. It is letting your dog sniff the object, making sure they understand that it's not going to hurt them in any way. And then just again, having your dog sitting at a distance, taking photographs of other dogs or people, and again, moving towards your dog slowly. But all of this work needs the guidance of obviously an expert like myself, but it also needs patience and time.
Okay.
But don't give up. My message is do not give up, because you can overcome that.
So you've got to be very, very patient. I just think it's so interesting from what you told me earlier. When you, as a dog trainer, a behaviourist, is presented with the owner and, say, their dog, it's not the dog you're training first and foremost. It's the owner themselves. So leading me to another question here from one listener who didn't leave her name, 0845 305 1122. Thank you for getting in touch with us. You'll know who you are as I just present this scenario. From the lady in question then, Ingrid. Fern, we have two dogs. We got our first dog and we trained him. He's very, very well behaved. We got a second dog some 6 months later and she just doesn't seem to be trainable. She doesn't react to the same training as my first dog did. I wonder, is she just a little dumb, a little on the slow side? If that is the right words to use. I mean, are certain dogs just harder to train than others is basically the answer to a question we pose.
They're not harder to train, but I've just had a dog in for residential training, an Italian Spinoli, who wasn't the brightest button in the box. He's left me after a month. He is absolutely perfect with his training. He's delightful and sweet. But you have to be more patient with him, because you can see him taking just that slight second to think about it before he does it. And I suspect that this lady's dog is just the same, but my advice to her would be treat your dogs as individual. Every dog is an individual. The basic training is the same, but just remember that some dogs will react quicker to some of your training parts than the other parts of it. So it's you can't lump them all together. You've got to realise that a dog might walk quicker on the lead than your other one did, but on the other hand, it might be a bit slower. But you have to be patient, but split your dogs up. Split them up, do your 4 half-hours a day, which is what I teach, 4 half-hours a day training, and in 6 weeks you should get this other dog trained. But just remember, it's never going to be like the other one. No two dogs are the same.
That's interesting, is that, Ingrid? Just going back to that scenario, the call that we've taken there. One listener to BBC Radio Cumbria, two dogs. The first dog we trained, well-behaved, seemed easy-peasy lemon-squeezy going through the training process. The second dog, some 6 months later, almost, as far as the caller is concerned, untrainable. Now, you would have thought that the younger dog, the second dog, Ian, would have possibly wanted to mimic the good behaviour of Goody Two Shoes, the elder dog, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, that's not the case, and that's where people fall down, because they rely on the older dog to do the training for the younger one. And you do have to remember, as I said, that dogs are individual, and as a pack leader, I suspect this lady hasn't got her pack leadership quite as to where she really wants it to be. And of course, you have a dog that's easy, the first one, the second one isn't. So you're quite relaxed when you do your training, which is what you should be, but you're lulled into this false sense of, I've had one dog and trained it, this is going to be easy. But it's not always the case, you see.
I got another text message here. 81333, thank you for your text messages here. Interesting listening into the dog lady you have on air at the moment, Fern. My dog barks at bin bags. I need to go and see her. Any chance you could provide us with some details? Well, I'll tell you what, if anybody would like further information as to the dog training sessions that Ingrid herself hosts, if you give us a call here at BBC Radio Cumbria, we can provide you with all of the information on number 0845 305 1122. I won't saturate you with calls this morning from listeners to BBC Radio Cumbria, Ingrid. But finally here, another call coming in. Are treats a good way to train your dog? Rewards for good behaviour or not?
They're an absolute disaster and they're totally negative. My training, I only train on a one-to-one. I don't do classes because they're negative. Treats are the worst possible thing you can ever have. And the people that have been elsewhere and come to me that have started training with treats, it's a really hard habit to break. Your dog should work for you, for love and respect, not for its stomach.
Ingrid, it's been fascinating speaking to you this morning on the show. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Ingrid Grayling, she's a dog trainer and a behaviourist expert. She works with owners and dogs on a one-to-one basis. Many listeners to BBC Radio Cumbria, hearing what Ingrid has to say there, getting in touch, texting, emailing, calling the station, saying, I could really do with some advice and help from Ingrid. I'm not going to saturate Ingrid with calls left, right and centre, but just to say, if you are seriously interested in finding out more, then we do have Ingrid's telephone details, website addresses. Just simply give us a call here at BBC Radio Cumbria, a member of the team.